Okay, everybody. So thanks again for being here. Let me tell you what I'm thinking. We have our ongoing project that we're working on of, you know, making some changes in the program and putting the structures in place for that. And so we've got that to work on today, but I also, like we did last time, I want to open it up for people's agendas, anything that anybody else has about, you know, what's going on in your group or, you know, other things you want to talk about. So how about if we see what people have and then kind of make a plan based on that? Who's got something that they want to talk about?
This is Michael.
Michael? Yeah, Michael?
Oh, do you want me to start?
No, I want you to just say what it is that you want to talk about.
Okay, something about facilitating groups. I guess I don't know how to talk about it without talking about it.
Okay, a facilitation issue. Okay, got it.
Yeah.
All right, who else?
Yeah, this is... I'd like kind of to, if it's possible, to review a little bit on how to conduct an orientation for the group, just kind of what some of the guidelines we had agreed upon on that and stuff. I'd really appreciate kind of a refresher on that.
Okay, yeah, that'd be a great topic. Who else?
Dave, this is Karen.
Karen?
And I wrote in a question, but it just kind of pertains to me and my group because I'm going to be leaving for a little bit. And so I don't know if that's something I should bring up tonight to the group. If it's
yeah,
a
why not?
Thing. Okay, that's what I'll do.
Okay. Anyone else? Okay. Let's flip-flop things around a little bit, if you guys don't mind, and start off with the business and then go to the issues after that. I'll make sure we save hopefully plenty of time for that, and then we can come back to the business if we need to. So let me tell you where I think we are anyway, which may have no relationship at all to where we actually are. But in my little head, what we've done is we have, you know, these two projects we're working on. One is to get the key readings to people ahead of time. We made lots of progress on that, and I have an update. And then we have the other project of putting the key groups up on the web and then advertising the groups. So in terms of getting the key out to people, here's where we are, key out to people early. Mm-hmm. Is Rebecca on the call? I didn't notice. Oh.
Yeah, I'm here, Dave.
Oh, you're there. Okay, great. Rebecca has kindly written up a couple of emails for us. And, Rebecca, I think they look super.
Great.
So, we just need to get them edited on our side, then we'll be ready to get those out. And the two emails, as everyone I'm sure is aware at this point, but just to say it, one is kind of the template that we will put the key reading for the weekend that will go out to everyone who's going to receive it. And the other one is an invitation that people can send to their own email list, inviting people to participate in it. And so we have those ready to go. So I think what we can do is actually set up the program so we can launch it. That's what I'm thinking we can accomplish today. There's a couple pieces of that. We need to get those emails edited and get them to everybody, which I think we could probably do over the next few days, say. And then they can go out to everybody, and then everyone will have them. And the other thing we need to do is get get a system in place for getting the key readings from, you know, distributed to everybody. Once we put all those things in place, I think we're ready to go. So, Tony, are you the person to type them up each week, do you think?
Yes, sure.
Okay. And what's a good day for you to do that in general?
I've been trying to think about that. When would we actually do the first sending out since groups start on different days? But weekends, I usually have more time, but I
okay.
can kind of work it out.
Okay, the weekend. So I guess the first group of the week is on a Sunday, because I know Catherine's group is that day. Let's see. So we could either do it for that week, or we could even get a week ahead and just stay a week ahead.
Mm-hmm.
You have an opinion about that, Tony?
Yeah, I probably would prefer being even a week ahead,
mm-hmm.
If it's not too confusing for everybody.
Okay. I don't think it will be, because the email template that Rebecca made for us, at the top it says something like, you know, this is the key reading for the week of X, and it'll have the date in there. So you can put the actual date in, you know, the week of, you know, say it's the Sunday of that week, and that way people can look, and hopefully that'll keep them the facilitators from getting confused.
Yeah. And then I was wondering too, then will the facilitators just send them out as soon as they get it, or you know, as soon as they can, or organize it based on when their group meets?
Well, let's see. And other people can jump in on this. It seems like we wouldn't want to send it out until after, you know, the next week's reading, until the previous week has happened. Yeah.
Right.
But otherwise, I'm not seeing any reason, any particular way to do it. Anybody else?
This is David.
David,
The way I was kind of seeing it for my group was that maybe, so I receive the reading for the week, and then say my group is on a Tuesday night, you know, kind of when the program starts, we finish, say, this Tuesday, and then kind of on the Wednesday, for me, because my group is on the Tuesday, I've already received that reading, and then after this first, you know, after the Tuesday night on the Wednesday, say, I would send it out for my group for the following Tuesday.
Yeah, that seems really right on to me, because then it even says in the thing, I think it refers to, you know, we're sending this out so you can look at it over the course of the week. That would give them the maximum number of days to do that.
Yeah, and then it wouldn't really matter in some ways exactly, you know, when each one of us would have our group. So, you know, for myself, it might be, you know, maybe for somebody else it's on a Thursday, but it could always come kind of the day after the group has just met for the following week.
Mm-hmm. That seems right to me. Does that seem right to other people?
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking.
Great. Okay, good. We're in agreement on that. That's super. Yeah, this is going to be good, I think. I really think this is going to work. Okay, so let's make sure. So Tony will send it out. She's going to get a week ahead, so everyone will clearly have that email in plenty of time. And then so they can just sit on it until after their group goes, and they can fire it off.
Perfect.
And it's to the monastery, too, so we can post it ourselves.
Do you mind doing that, Tony?
Not at all. Who should I just send it to, all of you? Or?
Oh, how about sending it to the registration office? Registration at livingcompassion.org.
Okay. So I send out like a week ahead. So like we're going to start week after next or something like that?
Perhaps so. Mm-hmm. This weekend, you can start the first one, which will be for not this coming week, but the week after. And that will give us time to get those emails out to the people.
Okay, so send out this weekend for the following week.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm thinking. Okay. Am I on with that, or am I missing something? Does that seem right? Yep, okay.
It seems right.
Yeah. Okay, good. So what I was thinking is we'll get those. So we have those two other. Well, actually, one of the emails just goes to you, Tony, the blank template.
Okay.
And who actually needs that right now. The other one, the email invitation to people to participate in this kind of next phase of the program, needs to go to all the facilitators. And so I think just as soon as people get that, they could send it out. And then so everyone would have all the pieces, I think, and then we are up and running. Can anyone see any many missing pieces to this, or is that all we need to do to make this part of it happen?
Dave, can I ask one quick question?
Sure.
Hey, Dave. So the second email about the invitation, that can go out to people even if they have not been to an orientation, if they've just shown an interest, correct? Because I believe there's a line in there about attending an orientation. Is that correct?
That's correct in my understanding of it. Yeah, I can go to anybody you think might have the remotest interest. And then what we're going to do is we'll get the replies back, and we'll find out who wants to participate. And the people who want to participate will go in a separate email group, and that group will get the reading every week. So the people who have not expressed interest will not get the reading every week.
Yeah, that's okay, good. I'm clear. That's what I thought it was, too. Great. Thanks.
Yeah, and the other thing people can do is you could announce this in your next group if you want to and find out who wants to be included. If you want to do it live, you could do it that way, too, and that way you can go ahead and start your list and get it out to people as soon as it arrives.
Yeah.
Tracy, did you have something?
Sorry, I'm trying, like, going from mute to unmute. No, it was just a question more about, just not seeing those emails, just wanting to know the timing between the email just explaining how this is going to happen, and I think Rebecca just answered that.
Okay, good, yeah. Yeah, what I was thinking is we wouldn't worry about the timing all that much, but as soon as people get that email invitation, they just send it out, and as soon as you have a person to send that the key reading to, send it. And
great.
just kind of grow up from there.
Perfect. I'm excited.
Is that someone else? Okay, I think not. Good. Well, that's very satisfying to have that under our belt. Okay, so the next part is the part everyone, or a lot of people I think have been waiting for, which is the expanding of the publicity of the groups and potentially expanding the groups and finding a way to invite more people. So what I thought we could do as a first step on that is make a little to-do list for ourselves of what we have to accomplish in order to make that happen. So let me tell you what I know of, and I think there's probably stuff that I have not thought of, but the first thing I think we need to do is do a write-up to get the new look of it on the web. And we can talk in a minute about what exactly we want to say, but that's the thing where we are going to say, you know, hey, we've got, everyone's in training, but we have, you know, two groups of people, basically, those who've been doing it for a really long time, those who are actually in training now, and here are the different groups, and here's the contact information for all these groups. So that would be step one. Step two that I'm aware of would be to do a text for, if people think this is a good idea, I can't remember if we've actually talked about it, but a text for some geographic emails. It could go out from our computer here to people in your area to let them know that this is happening, that your group is out there. Are people expecting that? Do you think that's a good idea? Not a good idea?
I can't remember why we were going to do that.
Because so that the point of this is to attempt to get more people coming to the key groups, basically. Because
Okay. That would be more like an announcement that they're happening and this is what we're doing.
Right. That's true. It wouldn't. It would be, we haven't publicized them, so it would be as if it's brand new. Okay.
I think it sounds like a great step to take, and I'm excited to see if there are other people in my area that are on the mailing list. So will when these GO emails get sent out or set up, I wonder if we'll be able to know, no, there aren't any in Texas, sorry, or whatever. Is there a way to know that? Or?
Yeah, I bet we could. We'll have to invent a process internally here just not to overwhelm our IT person. We could, we could do a couple, three a week for a while until we get them all out, and then yeah, I think if we did them sort of slowly like that, I bet we could make sure that kind of communication happened.
Okay.
All right. And then the only other thing I've actually thought of along these lines is to take another look at our flyers. I think people mentioned that last week, and to look at what do our flyers say, and do they represent where we are now, and to go from there to see if we need to create new ones. It could be we even use the flyers as part of those geographical emails. I'm not sure. But that way people can have flyers to post around town if they want to.
good.
That's actually all I can think of. Did anybody see other things that we should do in order to take this next step?
This is Tracy.
Tracy?
Hi. I would love to see an update to the flyer. The flyer right now, I'm just going off the top of my head, but it's, you know, basic, just about, you know, conscious compassion and awareness and, you know, guided, I think it says like a guided meditation and facilitated discussion. And I don't know, at some point we actually talked about putting something on there about the key. So I wanted to see kind of where we were with that and if we wanted to move in the direction of something around, you know, each week we will look at, you know, each week we'll, you know, be looking to our experience on a particular, you know, I don't know what it's thought, or I don't know how we want to word that, and or just each week we'll explore something and see what our experience shows us about how, you know, we're experiencing. I don't know how to word it, but something just directing the invitation to more of what we're headed towards, and because it's pretty broad right now.
Broadening it out a little bit. Okay, that makes sense to me. How about as a way to do that? Who knows where the current, or who has an electronic copy of the flyers as they exist now? Tony, do you have those?
I think so. Yeah, I'm pretty sure I do.
Great. Maybe if you would be willing to send those out to everyone this week, and we could, that would give everyone a chance to look at them, and maybe that could be a part of our business for next week's call, to look at those and make the changes that we want to.
Okay. Yeah, it seemed like there was two. It seemed like we had one that left space for some information, and one that was somebody wanted to send it as an attachment and explain contact information in the email, something like that.
And
I think just
had four, Tony, because
something for sitting groups too.
Didn't we have different flyers for the sitting groups and the key groups?
I think so. Yeah, maybe there was two for each or something.
Mhm. Well, how about if you track down those four then and send them out to us, and then maybe next week we could sort it out when we all have had a chance to look at them and have them in front of us.
Okay. I'll do that.
Okay, great. So, anybody see any other things we need to do other than the steps that I mentioned? Okay, great. All right.
Dave, this is Marie.
Uh-huh, Marie.
Sorry, I was muted. I was talking, but I was muted. I'm just curious, is this going to be, like it's a publicity, is this also going to be for sitting groups, or is this just mostly for the key groups, what we're working on now?
I don't know. I haven't thought about that. Do you have an opinion?
Well, I guess, you know, when trying to do a group, it's always good to have any publicity that you have. But then also, you know, it's going to be, like, if it's a geographical email, there'll be two different groups here. I don't really have an opinion.
Special one for Athens that includes both of them.
Yeah, that seems like that would make a lot of sense to me.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I bet we can do that. I bet it wouldn't be hard. That does kind of make sense to publicize the regular sitting groups, too. Sitting group heads, you know, old-timers, do you agree with that? Would that be helpful?
Yeah, Michael, it's fine to me.
Okay, great.
That sounds fine.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, good. Great. So maybe the next thing we could do is, I think probably the easiest thing for these would be to write them up here in-house. So I actually just volunteered a note taker here amongst the monks. So how about if we talk a little bit about what we want to say specifically on the website? Do people have thoughts about that? I'll get us started. What I'm thinking is we have a sitting group page on the website, if you're aware. And then we need to say that something along the lines of the Zen Monastery Peace Center offers a training program for facilitators. It's an opportunity to use for people to deepen their practice through the the practice of facilitation, however we want to say that. I'm stalling for a note here. Seems like we want to say something along the lines of, I don't know if other people like the idea, but I, from the beginning that we start talking about this, I've liked the idea of saying that, with the understanding, something along the lines of, with the understanding that we're all training, and we're all, we're all always training as facilitators, we have two types of groups that exist right now. The first type is, the established sitting groups that have existed for some time. These groups are facilitated by seasoned practitioners, something along those lines. And the second type is those who are currently in training to become official facilitators of the monastery or something along those lines. And then it seems like we could also put in something about what we're doing, that, we're all the groups, both types of groups, are focusing on the key and whatever we want to say about that. And we're using the key as a way to focus our practice and to direct the conversation in these groups. Something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's about what I think.
Yeah.
Dave, this is Jan. The only thing that struck me, that sounded, all in all, what we want to say, but the difference between experience and less experience, or saying official, it hits me that we don't really have, it's really a difference in the time of experience, how long someone's been facilitating. But we don't really have an official acceptance, or whatever that, however you stated it. And maybe there's a way to say it more to the effect of, those that have been in training for less time, or, where I'd have to think about the wording. I guess the official is what stopped me.
I think you're probably right. I think that's not a good way to say it. What if we said something along the lines of, there are those who have been involved in facilitation practice for some time, something along those lines. We have these seasoned facilitators. And then those who more recently have chosen to take on the facilitation practice as a way to deepen their own practice.
Yeah.
That's
that
good.
To me speaks to it more correctly, I guess.
Okay. Well, Alice, did you have something?
No, it was mostly about making sure we mentioned Sherry whenever we mentioned the key, that it's written by her. Especially, it occurred to me when the context we're talking about, but also with the emails that we're sending out of the pages of the reading, make sure that give credit to Keep It Simple Books and Sherry for that.
Oh, good point.
Because they'll be coming out of context.
Yeah, I think you're right. I didn't understand about what you meant about the pages.
The weekly pages that we're sending out to people who will be getting the reading ahead of time, that's what we want to mention, that it's, we put Sherry Huber down on that and then Keep It Simple book.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. I can make sure. I can't remember if that's on Rebecca's draft or not, but I can make sure it's there.
Dave, this is John.
John.
Hi. I'm coming new at this, but I was wondering if there even needs to be a distinction between those more experienced and those less experienced on the website, and that maybe it's perhaps better handled at a local level on the flyers or the advertisements, or just in the actual group itself.
Okay. Hey, everyone, I want to introduce you to John.
Hi, John.
Hi.
John is joining. Actually, I think there's two new people. Andrea, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here too.
Okay, good. So this is John and Andrea. John is down in Los Angeles and has been invited to join the program. And Andrea actually is a local here near the monastery, and they both have expressed an interest and have been invited to join us here tonight.
Okay.
Good.
So to catch you guys up, John, the reason we're doing this in this way, originally the T Group folks did not publicize their groups at all because we wanted to give folks a chance to get their feet under them as facilitators before we put them in a position that looked like they were representing the practice.
Right.
So they just started off with friends and family, basically.
Right.
And that was kind of how they gathered people together. We still want to preserve that distinction because we want to make it clear that people are doing this essentially for their own training and, you know, to make a distinction between those who, in a way, they do officially represent the monastery and, you know, the established sitting groups, and in a way, the key groups officially do not. Because that's the distinction we're making.
Okay.
I think ultimately we'll probably erase that distinction, but you know, until folks have undergone the training that's necessary, I think that distinction needs to be there. And so we're trying to make it. We want to make sure if there's sort of a karmic issue along with this too, because it's our responsibility to make sure people understand what they're dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know, as Jerry often will say, you know, their immortal souls are at stake with this, and so it's important to us that people understand that if they're going to someone who is offering a group who is in training, that they know that, and that they know that this person is not in a position to offer them guidance, essentially.
Okay.
It's a good question, though.
It's
good for us to articulate that to ourselves, I think, too, because it's something that's good for all of us to remember.
Okay, thanks. That was just a fresh look, and I appreciate it.
Hi, I have a question.
Okay, great.
Hi, Andrea. I have a question.
Okay, go ahead, Andrea. It's a little hard to hear you, so you have to speak up a little.
Oh, sorry. No, I was just wondering for clarification, do the key groups and the sitting groups, they all do the key when they're meeting. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Oh, okay. I just wanted to make sure I was a little confused.
Yeah, that's correct.
Dave?
Uh-huh.
I have something else I'd like to see on the ad, or whatever is on the website, is
okay.
Some kind of statement that we're all under the guidance of the monastery and are creating and preserving a privileged environment so that people know that it's going to all be the same kind of feel in each group.
Okay, good. Yeah, I think those are both good points. Our scribe is furiously writing them down. Maybe, actually, Rebecca, would you want to flesh that out just a little bit so we'll have our best shot at representing that correctly?
Yeah, that as you're describing the distinctions, that the reader of the ad will understand that no matter what, we're all receiving guidance from the monastery, and that that it's really overseeing, you know, that there's, I wouldn't say that this, well, I wouldn't use this word on the website, but that there's accountability in a way.
Mm-hmm.
And particularly then,
that both types of groups will have that same element.
Yes, uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
And then secondly, the privileged environment, I would assume, well, I don't know, there might be lots of people that would read this that wouldn't know what the privileged environment is, but in some way to allude to the fact that the privileged environment is maintained and the silence and just kind of the way that we do practice is going to be the way these groups are doing it as well, that there's not something different in that way, that the privileged environment will be maintained.
Okay. Yeah, so we could write it in a way that simply explains what the privilege environment is, even perhaps
yeah.
Without using that term.
Yeah.
Okay.
Did you say yes? Use that term. Describe
well,
that.
We could do it either way. You know, we could say something. We could use that term, but if that, you know, it's true that people might run across that who don't know what that means. But we could just say what that is instead. Like, you know, each of these groups operates under the guidance of the monastery. And endeavors to create an environment that's supportive for awareness practice.
Yeah. I kind of would go for saying it, like kind of like we did with using Gusho. We just tell people what it is. I'd kind of like go ahead and using the term.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll see how it turns out as we actually, and we'll endeavor to do that and see how it turns out as we actually kind of work on it here.
Sure. Thanks.
Okay. Anything else that people would like to see on the web description of this? Here's Sequoia.
This may be implied in all of this, but I think one of the things that's going to be real exciting to people is that there's these opportunities now to participate in practice in local groups that heretofore there was no opportunity to do that. So I don't know where that would want to go, but just to highlight that for folks that there's new practice opportunities coming to a number of local areas.
Well, it seems like that might go in the geographic email that we sent, do you think?
Yeah, I think that's probably the right place for that to go. It might even be the subject matter in the line in the email, you know, new practice opportunity in the area.
Mm-hmm. Great. Let me repeat that. Anything else people see about this? Okay, good. See how we're doing on time. You know what? I think we're doing pretty well. Maybe what we can do is work on the web. And we'll know next time we'll have the flyers, and we'll work on those. And the text of the geographical email, I have a feeling that will come out of the work we're doing on the website. So rather than spending time talking about that now, unless we just get done with these other issues we want to talk about, then we can maybe either put it off for next week, or we might even be able to kind of create that in this next week as we're doing the web write-up. Okay, great. Thanks, everybody. That was very helpful. So let's see. Let's start off. Let's go next to Michael and the facilitation issue.
Okay, great. So your situation. I was playing with my son and got a big long scratch on my forehead, and then I was facilitating a day or two later, and I didn't know if I should ever say something about it. I didn't say anything about it, but it was just kind of. It was, like, really obvious, and I didn't want it to be a distraction or have people projecting about, and I just didn't know if there's ever a time to say something or not.
Yeah, that's a really interesting and fun question. Who has a take on that?
Deanna?
Deanna.
Well, you know, I've had paralysis in my face, since... And I, too, wondered, because it's pretty obvious when I talk. And I came to the feeling of not saying anything because it felt too much like an explanation or almost like an apology for me being who I am or something. And I felt more empowered by just being me and not drawing attention or making an explanation for why my face is...
So that felt more correct and also kind of more empowering for you to handle it that way.
Yeah, it felt more... In some ways, I wanted to model acceptance of me and therefore acceptance of whatever anybody brought me in without explaining.
Okay, interesting. Let's see with anybody else what other people might say. Sequoia.
This has reminded me of a time that Sherry was leading a group, and she got a red spot on her forehead, not at the group, but prior to the group. And she just had a way of bringing it out in the group with so much humor and grace. And, it just was, and she referred to something about, being at Mount Madonna and the red spot being on her third eye. And, it was funny, and it also just like, I don't know. It just was like the elephant in the middle of the room. It just let it be, and it was said, and then we could just move on. But it wasn't a big deal, So it wasn't like, I just want to talk about the red spot on my forehead. She just had a way, as she does, of sharing it.
Okay. Thanks for that. Anyone else?
And Dave, this is Phil. Yeah, I was just trying to look back over the years, and there's never been one way or the other about that. You know, it's just kind of there's been no you should or you shouldn't. It's just if, you know, maybe if someone's come in with a broken leg that they didn't have before, you know, it might want to just say, you know, make a statement or a joke about it and then go on. But, yeah, I've never, I don't think it needs to I don't know. I just would let it be kind of and see what happens in the moment. And to notice if there's something going on that says, I should I or shouldn't I? I mean, that's the whole thing. Sherry always said, it doesn't matter if you do this or do that. Just don't go back and forth about what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Anyone else?
Dave, this is Penny.
Penny.
And I was just thinking along the lines that Phil just mentioned. It feels like it's not something that would necessarily require a rule.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever it would be, in a way, it seems like what we're trying to do is not call attention to something. And so sometimes not mentioning something might actually cause more people to pay more attention to it. So, you know, there may be times where providing a brief explanation just ends it, and other times when it doesn't seem necessary. It feels like I can't imagine quite coming up with, you know, there's only one way to do this.
Yeah, that's what I was getting to, too, that it's an in-the-moment kind of thing, like you and Phil were saying. There's some interesting things to consider, you know, as we look at that, though. You know, one is there's the part of practice where, you know, not giving information is a big part of practice. I don't know if people have noticed that.
Mm-hmm.
People are here at the monastery certainly have, I'm sure. You know, because we don't tend to attempt to caretake conditioning under about things, you know. And it's, you know, provides people, like I can imagine Michael sitting there with that great big scratch on his head, and everybody in the room, you know, it's a big projection exercise for everybody. And, you know, that's interesting. On the other hand, you know, another thing that occurs to me that we would have to consider would be, you know, what feels like the most, I think this is a lot what Penny and Phil were saying, what feels most helpful for the group, understanding that, you know, like I just said, you know, satisfying people's curiosity is not necessarily helpful, but providing people with a distraction, distracting, would not particularly be helpful either. The thing about Sherry is a really interesting one because Sherry is the master. Let's face it. She has a way of doing that kind of thing where it doesn't make anything personal, which I really admire and aspire to. She can pull it off with a grace that I have not ever seen in anybody else. And I think that's another factor to consider, that, you know, we don't want to make it be personal. So this is to interrupt that. This is kind of along the lines of what Deanna was saying, I think. I don't know if these, Deanna, if these words are fit at all with your experience, but, you know, to not make it about something related to me, you know, to keep it more as a privileged environment. At any rate, I'm not sure if everyone could pull off that, you know, what Sherry did. So anyway, those are some thoughts I had. But I agree that, you know, it would be an in-the-moment kind of thing, depending on what seems like would be most helpful for all.
Yeah, Dave, it's just kind of like diffusing the situation. Like, we could do it, a person could do it without giving any information, you know, just like, wow, you should see the other guy, or, you know, just something that everybody goes, huh. You know, if it's something that stands out and it's new and needs to be said, you know, like Penny was saying, and it would just kind of, everybody would sit back and say, oh, phew. But it wouldn't even have to, you know, we don't even have to say anything personal to diffuse a situation like that.
Yeah, and then again, just to emphasize the point I was making a minute ago, as you say, Phil, if it needs to be said.
If it needs to be said, exactly. Well, a lot of times it doesn't.
Said, I think probably we would generally err on the side of not saying it, because that right. is kind of what we do typically in practice, is we
right.
don't to, you know, to take care of people in that way.
Mm-hmm.
Any other points of view?
Dave, this is Karen.
Karen?
The only other thing I say is that I can look at is, if another group member came in with a particular something going on, we wouldn't draw attention to them either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point.
So there's that place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, there's something kind of powerful about, I don't actually know, what you did, but there's something kind of powerful about something like that happening and then not saying anything, because what that says something about practice and about what Zen is that you don't normally find in other places.
Yeah, I didn't actually mention it.
Uh-huh. And how was that?
It's funny because I only thought about it beforehand, and then in the moment it didn't even occur to me.
That's your answer, isn't it?
Yeah.
And Dave, I was one of the ones there, and I didn't even notice it because it's always kind of dark in the meditation hall. You know, Michael's probably the only one that knew it was there.
Kind of moot. Mm-hmm. Okay, great. That was fun. All right, Karen, do you want to talk about your issue? This is Karen.
Oh, hi. Dave, I was muted, so can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, all right. I am going away for 3 weeks, and I'll have my group while I'm gone. I'll just, have it with just me or one other person. But there's been a person that has never missed one single group, I don't know how this could happen, but I wish that I could give him those key readings before I go so that he will have them because he's never missed anything. And I just feel badly, of course, about that. And so anyway, I guess there's the going away part that's kind of makes me feel bad. And then not wanting this one participant that's never ever missed anything to not ever get those readings. And then, of course, if I gave it to him, I'd have to give it to the other people in the group because it just seems like I would. Anyway, that's what I was asking.
That seems, to give out those readings ahead of time, that seems good and appropriate to me. Do other people agree?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That seems kind of sort of kind because that'll give the people, you won't be having your group, but that'll give people something to focus on and they can continue with the practice. Away.
Okay. Oh, well, great. Okay. Except I'm probably going to be leaving before, I'm going to be leaving March 2nd, and I don't know that this will all come out before then.
Let's see, March 2nd. I think it's pretty likely you'll get that email. Well, it'll go out this weekend. I think the first email with the key reading with the template that we've created.
Mm-hmm.
And so, well, how about if you just took that and typed in the other two for folks?
Okay. Okay. Great. All righty. That's perfect. Okay. Thank you.
Alex has something.
It's a technical thing, actually. I'm not sure if it's going to be the instructions on how to send out emails, but I would think we want to BCC everybody so that everybody in the group doesn't have everybody's email address. So if you send out an email and you just send it to, then everybody will see everybody else's email address.
Yeah, okay.
That is an excellent point, Alex. That is critical. You know what, Tony? What we need to do,
yes,
when we send out that, each time when we send out that, but I think there needs to be a note for the facilitators at the top reminding them of that because that would be a minor disaster to spread people's emails around like that.
They would be so facilitating their own group while you're away, Karen.
Okay. Okay.
So we'll add something about please remember to BCC when you send these out.
Yeah,
to send them out as a blind copy.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, good point. Okay, good. All right, Dave, let's see what time it is. Oh, we got a couple more minutes. A review of orientation, which I think is an excellent thing to do at this point. David, did you want to head us down a particular track with that, or what do you think?
Well, two things are coming up for me. It seems like the first part of it is kind of a logistical setup timing, meaning so there's going to be new people inquiring about coming to group, and you know, an orientation needs to take place. So kind of a how-to in terms of communication with them. You know, is it through email? Setting up an actual time to do an orientation, is that done before a regular group or during the group kind of thing? And then on the other part, the other question I had to do with it was more of the content of the orientation and just a review of kind of how we are presenting an orientation in terms of, like, I know there's the guidelines and then the privileged environment, and just kind of hoping to get kind of a refresher from anybody who's maybe had somebody new join recently. I feel like that's I'm kind of out of touch with how that works.
Okay, that's great. Let's take them one at a time. The setting up an orientation and communicating with people and how that works. How does that work for people who are doing that?
Well, Dave, this is Karen, and I had somebody recently start coming, and I had him come a half an hour before the group, and that's how I did it.
How did you communicate with him?
Well, actually, somebody from the group gave him a flyer and then a message on my phone machine that he was bringing a new person to group. And he had talked about bringing this person to group, and I said, well, I need to talk to him, and he needs to be oriented beforehand. And so, anyway, it was actually kind of funny because it sort of got taken out of my hands, but I said if he needs to be oriented, so he just brought him. And I did it before, half an hour before the group.
Okay. That seems like that works.
Yeah.
I want to ask, Chris, are you still on the call?
Yeah, I'm here.
I wonder, because you've been doing this a heck of a long time, I know, how does it work at Mountain Zen?
So usually people will get in touch via email. And email might say something like, I'm interested in coming to your next orientation, you know, that kind of a thing. And then I'll send a reply which says, you know, the date and the time. And, you know, once you let me know that you're interested in coming, that you really are okay for that date and that time, then I'll reply with the address and any other instructions that are necessary.
So you hold off on giving them address until you have it all arranged.
Yeah, until they really know exactly the time and kind of what's expected and everything about it. You know, they really have to signal that they're willing to come in during that time in some way. You know, because that first email comes in and it's not really clear that they can make it during that time. Sometimes they look on the website and they've got it figured out and they know when it is, but it seems to me just really nice to be real clear about it. And, you know, let them know it starts promptly at a certain time and, you know, any other details. If it's summer, not to wear shorts or, you know, they can, any of those kind of things that might need to be put out at that point. And
so
that feels real solid from that point on.
Yeah, it sounds real solid. So that information about the shorts and stuff, that goes out via email?
Well, if it's summertime, occasionally I'll do that just to make sure that they get that message.
Mm-hmm.
If it's wintertime, I don't bother about it. Yeah, that and strong scent seems to be one that people may not understand to start.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting because that's very similar to what we do here. If somebody wants to come to an orientation on Sunday morning, they actually, after we arrange with them when they're coming, they get quite a detailed email from us explaining what will be expected of them and, you know, with the clothing guidelines and stuff like that. So that does seem like a kindness.
Yeah, me too. Exactly.
And so Just one clarification, Chris. I'm guessing you don't give out the address till later so that people don't just show up in, you know, without the orientation.
That's right. Okay. Yeah, the address really can't be found out any other way other than, you know, via word of mouth. I guess people who come could tell the address, that kind of thing. Some people just know where we are. But other than that, somebody who's just showing up in town or doesn't have any idea, then they need to email us, not on the website, and like that. So, and that, it's really worked really quite well. The people that have been coming are real interested, and, you know, we do an orientation once a month, essentially on the first Tuesday of each month before our group. We start at, 6:10 and go till about 6:45, something like that, and then group starts at 7.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I imagine people are clear that if someone were to show up at your group, not unannounced, not in time for the orientation, you'd have to send them away. Everyone clear
That's right.
on that?
That's right.
Yep.
So for other folks, you chose once a month, I imagine, Chris, because that seems like that's what works or that's what's convenient for you and your schedule or whatever. It seems like other people could do whatever they wanted. They could do it every week or every other week or whatever they decide to do.
Yeah, that seems so, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anything anybody would add to that, given your experience that you have so far?
David's Ramita.
Mita.
I also have put out monthly orientations about a half an hour before group, and my phone number is on the flyer, no address, and an email they can contact. So I've been getting phone calls asking, you know, expressing some interest, and I tell them when the orientation is, and I usually give my address if they ask for it, and I give them enough guidelines to know to be there on time and things like that. And I've done this for about 3 months, and no one has come to the orientation yet.
Oh, my gosh.
So, you know, it's been interesting because the flyers are out, and people say, I called, you know, I saw it, I've called, and I have brief conversations, answering questions, and then it just hasn't happened yet. So, you know, part of me wonders, what am I saying something that's putting people off, or, you know, is it just... by just getting a number of people who have only this much interest and then their interest is waned after they talk to me? I don't know.
Yeah, that's fascinating. You know, well, we do, of course, I have no idea what's going on for those people, but I know people do get intimidated, especially if you're telling them stuff like about the privileged environment, things like that, which you probably are, then I could easily imagine people getting intimidated. We actually have a process we do here before anyone comes on retreat. If they're someone who has not had the experience before, where we do quite an elaborate introductory call where we go over every single little detail about their stay here and the privileged environment, every aspect of what that means and how they'll be required to participate in groups and everything, sort of for the purpose of scaring people off in a sense, although that's not really it. It's more just kind of weeding out people who really don't have a level of commitment that we're looking for, who can kind of make it through a week here at the monastery. So, you know, it's the real thing, you know, what we're offering, at least from my point of view. And it really works. It really has a lot of integrity. It requires people to you know, to really do the practice. And, you know, unfortunately, that's just not something a whole lot of people are interested in.
Yeah, I can understand if I was giving a lot about the privileged environment, but in my... it doesn't seem like I'm doing that. I'm just giving, you know, where it is and sort of the basic schedule and saying to please be on time, you know, so because I close the door. That's as close as I get to really making a demand on how they behave. Until they get here and then.
That's funny. Wow, it's a mystery, isn't it?
People are interested. It's been nice even just getting the calls because that at least shows there's some degree of interest. I've gotten calls from a couple people who've moved from out of town who say they know of Sherry's work. And actually one person said, she'd seen an ad that I put in a free paper,
And she says, oh, I'm so glad Sherry Huber's coming into town, and I can't wait to see her, and I didn't know she was going to be doing work in Charleston. Like, so I'll clarify, that's not what's happening.
Yeah. That's interesting, isn't it? I mean, I can only project as someone who loves practice, and it's just hard to imagine not taking advantage of an opportunity like that. But, of course, you know, as we often point out, we don't have people overrunning us here at the monastery, so just go figure.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Thanks.
Dave?
Yeah.
I got stuck on the, you have to send them away if they show up, and I'm going to talk to them and what the words would use to do that, and I know that would be necessary, but everything I can imagine doesn't sound right. Could you just throw out a few sentences, like how you would say that to a person?
Well, what I would be tempted to say is, thank you for coming. Perhaps you didn't know that an orientation is required before attending this meditation. The reason we do that is because it's very important to us that the experience people have here is a kind experience. Kind that it's not kind for people to participate without knowing what the expectations are. The point of the orientation is to make sure that you know what goes on, how to participate in the group, how everything works, and it just doesn't feel, it's our experience that, for one thing, it doesn't work to have to come and not be part of the orientation, and our other experiences is just not kind. So we'd love to have you participate, but I'm going to have to ask you to set up an orientation and then come back again, and we can, you know, we can start fresh.
Oh, yeah. That sounds kind. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, you can probably tell I've sent away a few people. Yeah, I remember the first time I did it was a big day in my practice. You know, we had three people show up at the monastery, and they actually were late by 15 minutes, and I sent them off in the way that I was directed to do, and it was incredibly difficult, but it was a really powerful experience of what practice is. Never saw them again. They were very angry about it, because they'd driven for a couple hours to get here. But that's just, you know, as Sherry says, her teacher says, if someone's late, the thing you can know is they're late. And we have to offer practice to people under all circumstances.
Yeah, that's good.
Okay, oh my gosh, we're out of time already. Let's see. So, David, how about if we finish the rest of that? Do you think you can make it to the next call?
I'm pretty sure that's not a problem.
Okay, so we'll put that on the agenda for next week. Also, remind me maybe when we're on the call, and we can talk about the orientation itself and how we do that.
Yeah, great.
Cool. Great. Well, thanks, everybody. Anything from anybody before we end tonight?
I wonder if anybody came, this is Tony, if anybody came on the call late that I might not have. Maybe not.
I came on a couple. This is Jan. I was a couple minutes late.
Okay.
You probably got Andrea.
Yes, I did get Andrea. Thank you.
Oh, hello. This is Andrea. Yeah, I had trouble actually getting on the call. The reason the conference number wasn't working for a few minutes connected.
Yeah, I had the same experience.
Yeah, so did we, actually. Not sure what's going on there.
This is Margaret. Did you get me on the call?
Thank you, Margaret.
Okay.
Okay, thanks. I really appreciate your participation, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.